I am thrilled to be backstage with our soloist, Elisa Weilerstein. Elisa, congratulations. What an expressive and passionate performance.
Thank you so much.
What do you love most about this Schumann concerto?
Oh, what's not to love? It's I tend to think of it as maybe the most operatic concerto that we have. I mean, it's very intimate and yet maybe this kind of ultra-romantic sensibility without a trace of sentimentality. So it's great fun to play, and it's a wonderful interplay with the orchestra as well. And it's very special, kind of a unique concerto, I think.
It is very unique. It's almost mysterious in some ways. And Schumann wrote this work just a few years before his complete mental breakdown. Comparing it to his earlier chamber and orchestral works, do you get a sense of any impending collapse in this composition?
I think you could, hindsight is 20/20 with these things. I mean, one could find it in almost any of Schumann's music. He never lets you really breathe and relax in a way. There's always an underlying tension, even in this super serene second movement, which is so brief. There's always an underlying rhythm that has some activity and, perhaps almost too much activity. And in the first movement, I mean, my God, it's a big cry in a sense. He never really lets you go. I mean, he grabs you by the ear and holds on. And so you feel this kind of tension and almost anxiety in the music. And, I think about some of the quartets and the symphonies, and you really, really feel this so strongly. So I think it could apply to most of his music.
When I think about the piano concerto, for instance, it seems that structure seems so solid, and mm-hmm. yet this cello concerto seems
not so
to be
solid.
Not so solid, for sure. It's of course, it's one very long movement, three movements, but it's played without pause, and one kind of almost barrels into the next, and there's something almost clumsy about the way he goes into the second movement. But in this clumsiness, there's such charm, and it's done so beautifully that it doesn't feel clumsy, but it's very abrupt the way he goes into it. And the segue from the second movement into the third movement is a little bit more, let's say, conventional. It's a little smoother. But again, as I said before, there's he's grabbing you with this tension and anxiety, and never lets it go.
But then the onus is on you, the performer, to kind of hold it together.
Yes, very much. And that's a really nice challenge, actually. And something, I think that all of us who are playing it, that this is the big challenge, to try to really string it all together and to, to show the variety in it.
Speaking of challenges, you play an enormous range of repertoire, from J.S. Bach to the great 20th century and romantic concerti, such as we just heard today. But you also champion no-holds-barred, uncompromising contemporary work. What's the difference in preparing Elgar or Elliot Carter, both of which you just recorded on the same album?
Well, I mean, in a way they're very different, in a way they're the same. I mean, for me, what the most important thing is when approaching contemporary music is to give it as much respect as one would to a great, a well-known classic, like the Elgar, for example. And to approach it, of course, you have to start from scratch, which you don't have to do with the great romantic concerti. I mean, there's so many interpretations, so many recordings one can listen to in the very beginning of one's learning process. It begins, of course, with studying the score very carefully and then trying certain things out. And there might be sort of different issues and different rhythmic things, different balancings, different effects. But the most important things, I think, are quite similar.
Is there an added sense of responsibility because the composer is still alive?
Responsibility, sure, but I think it's a luxury to be able to ask a composer questions. I wish I could do this with all the music that I play. It's more often than not, it's very, very helpful to have a guide to see what the composer's mindset is and how it helps to kind of interpret a marking, because even if something is written very clearly, there are still 1,000 different ways to interpret it. And so with composers that I have the closest relationships with, I can ask, okay, what did you mean by this accent? What am I supposed to do with that? What kind of stroke are you looking for? Or what kind of atmosphere am I supposed to do? And I love being able to ask these kinds of questions.
To maybe have them sing a passage or something.
Sure, exactly.
If you had to choose between playing new music or older masterpieces and you could only do one or the other, which would you choose?
Oh, don't make me do that.
Sorry. Okay.
No, I thrive on variety. So okay. And especially because it's especially unfair to ask a cellist that, because our repertoire is so small. If you take one part away from us, then we don't have much to play. So I'm happiest when doing everything and doing a nice mix of everything. So sorry to not give you a black and white answer.
Yeah.
No, there are no black and whites in music. And no. I think maybe it is because you're so willing to explore and pioneer with new music. Do you think that's one of the reasons you won the MacArthur Genius Grant in 2011?
I just know that I like to explore and to, like I said to you before, I thrive on variety and I'm curious about what's out there and I just want to grow as an artist. So,
what was it like to win the Genius Award?
I was totally shocked. I actually didn't know what it was. you have no idea that you're being considered. You can't apply for it. And so they sent me three emails and I thought it was spam. I thought it was spam. And so then they finally called me and said, did you receive our emails? And I said, I guess so. That was you. And then he said, well, do you know what the MacArthur Foundation is? And I said, I probably should, but I'm really sorry. I don't know what it is. So they explained and I was in total shock. And then they said, yeah, but you can't tell anyone for 2 weeks. Which is, what?
Not even your parents.
Well, no, they said you can tell your nearest and dearest, but because the announcement was 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. So it was something very kind of overwhelming and very special to me.
Indeed, very special and well-deserved. What are the biggest joys and challenges in performing with your parents, whom we just mentioned, violinist Donald Weilerstein and pianist Vivian Hornick, as a professional piano trio?
Well, I mean, I grew up with listening to them practicing and rehearsing in the house. And so chamber music is really kind of my native language. And it's wonderful. They're some of the best musicians that I know. We're a very close family. And we don't actually perform together so often anymore, maybe once or twice a year now, just because everybody's so busy. But no, that's a very unique thing to be able to play with your family.
Finally, you're an advocate for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. You were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when you were 9. What advice do you have for people with chronic disease? How do you take care of your body and health while still setting out to achieve serious goals as you have?
I think my message to people with chronic disease, but especially type 1, because this is my own experience, and I've had this for 26 years. Managing type 1 diabetes is hard. It requires constant vigilance. However, it's one of those things that if you take care of it well, you can do whatever you want in life. Mm. And this is the message that I really want to send to anybody who is newly diagnosed or with families who are dealing with it, really of any age, because it's absolutely not easy. I would never minimize the struggle in dealing with it, but it never has to take over your life. So the most important thing is to integrate it and to accept it and to not let it take over.
Well, you look and sound wonderful, and what an inspiring time. And thank you so much for spending time with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.